What up, son? It's the tale of the tapes. The fuck life. Saying. All right, tale of the tapes. This is season 3, episode number 18. On today's episode, we'll be covering two Southern rappers in Bubba Sparxxx and T.I. So today's actually a pretty interesting episode because I kind of had very similar feelings for both of these guys going into them, and they wound up being on the same episode, so allow me to explain here. So Bubba Sparxxx had a few popular songs that I heard them, and to be honest, I was never really a huge fan of them, but Bubba does have one of my top 100 favorite hip-hop songs of all time, which She Tried, which I'm sure most people have never heard. It's not one of his more popular songs, which is typically the way things seem to work for some odd reason. But anyway, from the outside looking in, Bubba seemed to me like someone that actually had skills and was probably underrated technically, but for whatever reason couldn't find a way to sell unless he made some gimmicky shit with Timbaland. Now, to be clear, I'm not knocking Timbaland or Bubba because I like both of them. I'm just making a point. So, heading into Bubba, I was super curious because one part of me felt like he was going to be extremely dope and I was going to low-key love his shit. The other part of me thought there was a serious chance that he wasn't really ever that great and I just happened to love that song and I was going to get a lot of dumb country shit that I didn't like. And I'm sorry to even say that, but I personally hate country music. It's one of the very few genres of music that I absolutely cannot stand. But I understand that that's just my personal taste and opinion and preference, but in this section of the show, that's what we discuss, so I'm going to say it. So yeah, needless to say, I was torn with my prediction on Bubba, but I guess just figuring both of those perspectives would average out, I guess I expected Bubba to finish somewhere around the middle of the pack. T.I. I definitely knew more songs of than Bubba, as T.I. definitely had a little more consistent mainstream commercial success than Bubba did. Now, I certainly wasn't a huge fan of every T.I. song I had ever heard, but he did start to grow on me over time, and from some of the verses I've heard him absolutely kill, I was like, damn, this may be a super lyrical dude from the South here, and to be fair, there aren't too many of them. So when I hear T.I. constantly claim to be the king of the South, I was super intrigued to see if this claim was legit or not. And not for nothing, but I'm also super intrigued to see who finishes higher between Luda and T.I., considering they're both from the same area and had a pretty nice beef and go at each other. So I'm always curious to see who finishes on top when there's things like that involved, you know, like Cannabis and LL Cool J and this one and that one, you know, Jay-Z, Nas, stuff like that. I'm always curious to see who winds up finishing on top overall and shit like that. And to be fair, while I expected T.I. to do pretty well in general, I wasn't sure if he'd be able to best Luda, but I did still think that T.I. would be able to crack our top 50 so far, so we'll have to see if I'm on point with either of those predictions. Both of these artists had their debut albums out in 2001, so we're still in the calendar year of 2001 here today, but we're going to start off with Bubba Sparxxx as he was out first. His birth name is Warren Anderson Mathis, also known as Bubba, born March 6, 1977. Origins listed as LaGrange, Georgia, United States. Genres are listed as Southern Hip Hop and Country Rap. And his years active are listed as 1996 to present. So I do want to address something really quick here right off the bat. Under genres, we see the subgenre Country Rap. Now, while I do believe Bubba Sparxxx is probably the first artist to have this officially listed as one of his genres, I want to be clear that he is definitely not the first rapper to blend rap and country music. That accolade would belong to Everlast, who did it back in the 90s. And like I said, although Everlast may not have had that officially listed as a genre, that's probably because he essentially invented the subgenre and it didn't exist yet for him to have it listed. So Bubba, no doubt looking like he's probably going to be a pretty original artist with that being the first official installment of country rap as a subgenre, but not necessarily officially the first rapper to ever do it. So I just wanted to be clear on that. Other than that, I don't really see anything else that I want to bring up. So let's move right on to some more background info on Bubba Sparks. Warren Anderson Mathis, born March 6, 1977, better known by his stage name Bubba Sparks, is an American rapper. His singles include Deliverance and Ugly, both featuring Timbaland, and Miss New Booty featuring Ying Yang Twins and Mr. Collar Park, the latter of which peaked at number 7 on the US Billboard Hot 100. So, really almost nothing there for Bubba Sparks, but I did talk in my intro about how I heard a few singles from Bubba, and I spoke about how he didn't seem to ever really sell any records unless he did something gimmicky with Timbaland, and here we see that confirmed for sure, as the only thing really mentioned in his bio are his two hits with Timbaland and the third being a song with the Ying Yang Twins, who were hot at the time. So the point I was trying to make in my intro clearly reiterated here in Bubba's bio. But not much else there to talk about though, so let's get into my personal write-up of Bubba Sparks. I had mixed feelings heading into Bubba Sparks. There was a song or two of his that I loved and a couple of radio ones I didn't, but all in all, I felt Bubba was underrated. He was consistently good with multisyllabic rhymes and rhyme schemes, although he didn't have an overabundance of super dope punchlines, he did have a fair amount of sneaky little dope bars, leaving him above average lyrically overall. Bubba has only released 7 albums in his 23 years on the mic, but he was extremely consistent with them. 3 of those albums were great, and the other 4 were good. Of his 84 registered songs, none were great or weak, but he did put out 49 good ones, which makes nearly 60% of Bubba's music good, again speaking to his consistency. Aside from a single or two, Bubba never saw much commercial success with his albums, despite being heavily produced by the well-established hitmaker Timbaland. On top of that, he had no clear visible influences on any other artist to date. While Bubba did have a handful of times where he seemed to lean towards a certain popular sound when he was in need of some money and a hit, everything else about him was super original, from his subject matter, voice, and delivery, to his image, slang terms, and overall sound. So, to be honest, that write-up kind of sounds exactly like the picture I painted of Bubba when I was giving my opinions and predictions on him, so let's get into the numbers here and see where he winds up. Lyrics, he gets a 6, and, you know, like I said, Bubba, there wasn't too much going on with Bubba. He was pretty consistent, lyrically speaking. He was good with multisyllabic rhymes. He was good with rhyme schemes. Like I said, he wasn't necessarily a punchline rapper. He wasn't somebody where every couple of bars you were like, damn, that was a dope line. But he did have, you know, some sneaky little dope bars mixed in with the fact that he was consistently good with multisyllabic rhymes and rhyme schemes. So he gets an above average score of 6 there in the lyrics department. Albums, he gets a 5.18 with 0 classics, which is an overall good album score. It's close to being a great album score, but like I said, 7 albums, 3 of them great, 4 of them good. Almost all of them right around the exact same score, you know, off by a 0.1, a 0.2, stuff like that. So he was very consistent with his albums, and overall he gets a good album score. Songs, he gets a 0, like I spoke about. He had 84 total songs. None of them were great or weak. That's about as simple as it gets right there. So he doesn't get plus or minus anything in the songs department, but still pretty impressive with 60% of his music being good. Impact, he gets a 4. And like I said, you know, he did have the 2 or 3 relatively popular singles. I'm not going to say they were some of the biggest hip-hop songs of all time or anything like that, but decent radio play, decent popularity and things like that. Again, none of those were ever really achieved on his own. It was Timbaland on the 2 of them and then featuring the Ying Yang Twins on the other one. So it does seem like, I stated in my intro, for whatever reason, Bubba seemed to need somebody else that was well established already in the commercial success and the mainstream hits department and stuff like that to really gain any traction with any of his songs. But even so, with the singles, I mean, I don't want to say that his albums flopped or anything like that, but he never really had like a tremendous amount of success with his albums. He did have one album that went gold, but that was the best he really ever did. And again, I'm not trying to knock that. I have no gold albums. I have no silver albums or anything of the sort. So when I say things like that, I'm not trying to knock anybody or put them down. I'm just saying you have to keep in mind who you're comparing these people to. You got people that have more than one diamond album. You got some of the people that are the greatest selling hip-hop artists of all time. Even some people who are some of the greatest, you know, selling musicians of all time or music artists of all time, whatever word you want to use. So despite a lot of the production from Timbaland and despite the couple of singles, you know, Bubba really never did great with his albums. And like I said, he didn't have any names in his list of artists influenced, at least not yet. So he gets a below average score of 4 in the impact department. And originality, he gets an 8.5, which is obviously a great score. And, you know, pretty much everything about Bubba was pretty original. His image, his voice, his delivery, his subject matter, his overall sound. Like I said, you know, Everlast was probably technically the first artist to really blend those two genres, but Bubba Sparks probably the second one. And even if he's the third, fourth, or the fifth, we're talking about almost 240 people being done so far. So when you only have two or three guys that have really had that sound out of 239 people overall, that's obviously pretty original there, whether he was the first to do it or not. A lot of his slang terms and just shit like that. Bubba was definitely a super original dude. It was just that every now and then he would kind of quote-unquote sell out. And here's the reason I say that. If you know nothing of Bubba Sparks and you listen to Miss New Booty or you listen to Deliverance or Ugly or stuff like that, it may not sound to you like Bubba did anything out of the ordinary for what Bubba does. But if you listen to Bubba's albums, those songs you can tell. Like, for example, if you didn't know any of those songs and I didn't tell you that they were singles and you sat down and you listened to Bubba's albums, like, you would know right away that those particular songs are very different from most of the other stuff that he did. So while he was a very original artist overall, we do have to take into consideration that he did do some things that weren't necessarily very original, whether it was to get some popularity or some money or whatever the case may be. But nonetheless, still a great score there of 8.5 in the originality department. So you add those five numbers up and you divide by 5, which is the number of categories, and that gives you a final rating of 4.73, which puts Bubba Sparks in 76th place of 239 artists done overall. So that's not an amazing finish, but it is a pretty good one, especially from a guy who really gets almost no credit for being an actual good rapper. I mean, here we got a guy with an above average lyrical score, but a below average impact score. And yet he still manages to find his way inside the top 100 here so far. So I was a bit off with my prediction for Bubba, as he actually exceeded expectations, but I wasn't too far off. And I'll always take a guy finishing higher than I expected over someone disappointing me and finishing lower than where I expected them to. So shout outs to Bubba Sparks, no doubt about it, man. I hope he's able to overcome his substance abuse issues, because the dude is definitely an above-average rapper, to say the least. So, with Bubba finished up, we're going to now move on to the self-proclaimed King of the South in T.I., who, as I stated earlier, also had his debut album released in 2001. Born Clifford Joseph Harris Jr., September 25th, 1980, in Atlanta, Georgia, United States. Other names Tip and T.I.P. Years active listed as 1999 to present. Origins listed as Atlanta, Georgia, United States, and his genres are listed as hip-hop and trap. So I don't really see anything there too out of the ordinary that I feel like we need to have any further discussion about, so let's jump right into some additional background info on T.I., which I expect probably has a lot more to offer. Clifford Joseph Harris Jr., born September 25th, 1980, better known by the stage names T.I. and T.I.P., is an American rapper. Born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia, Harris is known as one of the pioneers of the hip-hop subgenre trap music, along with fellow Atlanta-based rappers Jeezy and Gucci Mane. Harris signed his first major label record deal in 1999 with Arista Records subsidiary LaFace. In 2001, he released I'm Serious, his solo debut and only album with the label, as well as formed the Southern hip-hop group PSC. Upon being dropped from Arista, Harris signed to Atlantic and soon co-founded his own label imprint, Grand Hustle Records, which he launched in 2002. Harris, a three-time Grammy Award winner, has released 11 studio albums, with 7 of them reaching the top 5 in the U.S. Billboard 200 chart. During his career, Harris has also released several highly successful singles, including Billboard Hot 100 number one hits Whatever You Like and Live Your Life featuring Rihanna. The latter replaced the former atop the chart and made Harris one of the few artists who replaced themselves at number one and simultaneously occupied the top two positions. Harris began to gain major recognition in 2003 following his first high-profile feature on fellow Atlanta-based rapper Bone Crusher's single Never Scared. Harris earned more prominence with the release of Trap Music in 2003, which included the top 40 songs Rubber Band Man and Let's Get Away featuring Jazzy Faye. The following year, Harris appeared on Destiny's Child's international hit Soldier alongside Lil Wayne and capitalized on it with the release of his Urban Legend album in 2004. His subsequent albums King and T.I. vs. T.I.P. generated high record sales and was supported by popular singles such as What You Know and Big Shit Poppin' respectively. Harris's sixth album, Paper Trail, in 2008 became his most successful project, with the album being certified gold for first week sales of over 500,000 copies in the United States, additionally making it his third consecutive number one album. In 2013, Harris was featured on Robin Thicke's single Blurred Lines alongside Pharrell Williams, which peaked at number one on several major music charts. On November of 2013, Harris announced that he had signed with Columbia Records after his 10-year contract with Atlantic came to an end. He released his Columbia debut Paperwork in October of 2014. In February of 2016, Harris signed a distribution deal with Roc Nation and another deal with Epic Records in September of 2018. The former served as a means to release his political Us or Else EP series, while the latter released his long-delayed 10th album, Dime Trap, in October of that year. Harris has served two terms in county jail, twice for probation violations, and a federal prison bid for a U.S. federal weapons charge. While serving 11 months in prison, he released his seventh studio album, No Mercy, in 2010. Harris branched out into entrepreneurship with his label Grand Hustle Records, which he co-founded in 2003 with longtime business partner Jason Jeter. Prominent industry acts have been signed to TI through the label, including Travis Scott, B.O.B., and Iggy Azalea. Harris has also had a successful acting career, starring in the films ATL, Takers, Get Hard, Identity Theft, and in the Marvel Cinematic Universe films Ant-Man and its sequel. He is also a published author of two novels, Power and Beauty from 2011 and Trouble and Triumph from 2012, both of which were released to moderate success. Harris has also starred in the American reality television series T.I.'s Road to Redemption, T.I. and Tiny the Family Hustle, and The Grand Hustle. In 2009, Billboard ranked him as the 27th best artist of the 2000s decade. All right, so obviously a lot there for T.I., and I don't really think that should be overly surprising, as T.I. has been pretty damn successful in his career for the most part. I'm not going to re-go over everything that we just read, but I just want to touch on some things. We do see Grammy Awards, successful albums, successful singles, both as the lead and featured artist, stuff like that. Now, I was aware T.I. was in some movies, but I wasn't really aware of just how many movies he was in. And something I personally wasn't really aware of at all with T.I. was the two books that he wrote and things like that. So, pretty interesting stuff there for T.I. to say the least. So, let's check out my write-up of T.I. now and see what I had to say. I was both intrigued and excited to cover T.I. Excited because I liked most of what I had heard from T.I. and felt he was underrated. Intrigued because I knew I hadn't heard most of his catalog. He was good with rhyme schemes and also pretty good with multisyllabic rhymes, but sometimes he took shortcuts and didn't rhyme. He was, however, very good at keeping a topic and showed the ability to get deep and meaningful at times, leaving him above average lyrically overall. T.I. registered 13 albums for scoring in 22 years on the mic. 11 of those 13 albums were good, with the remaining two being great, showing tremendous consistency. Of his 223 qualified songs, 7 were great, another 96 were good, and not a single one was weak. While T.I. has had more than one platinum album and had relative success with almost all of his albums and singles, musically speaking, he's only influenced the likes of Joe Budden and possibly a few others. Aside from some cadences in his voice and a few out-of-the-norm messages, there wasn't much to give T.I. credit for in this department other than helping to popularize trap music. On top of that, he took a fair amount from other artists prior, particularly Tupac and Biggie. So to be honest, that kind of sounded like a mostly mediocre write-up with the exception of his mainstream commercial success, which we're obviously all very aware of at this point. That's not to say that he's like the best-selling hip-hop artist of all time or anything like that by any stretch of the imagination, but obviously stayed successful for a pretty long period of time. So let's check out the math here on T.I. and find out once and for all if he really is the king of the South. Lyrics, he gets a 6, and listen, even though Bubba Sparks and T.I. are both from the South, and I like both of them enough to mention that they're on the positive end of the spectrum for me, I never ever would have equated that these two were similar in any type of way. And when it came to content, they weren't similar. But when it came to like style and the way that, I mean, first of all, they both got the same lyrical score. So when you're talking about, you know, technically speaking, lyrically, they were about the same, which doesn't really blow my mind. But what does blow my mind is the fact that they both got there in pretty much the exact same way. There wasn't necessarily like an overabundance of ridiculous lines, but both guys showed the ability to get deep. They were both pretty good with multisyllabic rhymes and rhyme schemes. And to be quite honest, they were both pretty consistent with those things. So it was like a slow, steady climb for the both of them. And looking back at it now, after they're both done and covered and written up, and I'm sitting here and I'm reading these write-ups, it's pretty wild how similar they were. Again, not in content, not in their messages and stuff like that, and not in sound either. But the technical writing aspects of where their lyrical pen game is at, they were very, very similar, not only in score, but in how they got there. So T.I. gets an above average score of 6 in the lyrics department. Albums, he gets a 4.85 with 0 classics, which is just under the score that Bubba Sparks got. And again, I don't say this to pin people against each other, but I do think it's pretty crazy how I had similar expectations of these guys, similar opinions of these guys, even though I never would have put the two of them in the same sentence. They're from a similar area, and they're both on the same episode today. So, you know, I do want to point out what each of them got and see who was better at what, because very similar artists here, even though in listening to them, you would never, ever, ever think that. Bubba, a much more country folk sound and rapping about things that you do not hear most other rappers rapping about. T.I. was much more typical down south rapper type sound. And I'm not saying that he took things or bit things or a sound or a style from people, but technically speaking, when it comes to being the pioneer of trap music, Jeezy was out before T.I. Now, I'm not going to say that Jeezy started the whole shit and T.I. bit everything from him, because they were out right around the same time. So you have to understand that these guys were both probably simultaneously recording their debut albums at the same time. So that's not to say that they took anything from each other, but I'm just talking about technically speaking, Jeezy was out first. So I'm not going to sit here and say that T.I. started that trap shit and was the first to do it. But he was one of the first. But again, that being said, the overall sound is still generally typical for that down south music. Maybe a little bit different at that time period from what was coming out, because they added their own trap spin to it. But again, more typical to your southern hip hop music than Bubba Sparks was. And it's funny because when you think about Bubba Sparks' material, yeah, he's talking about a lot of South shit, but there's a difference between hip-hop South shit and just regular South shit. You know what I mean? Like, when you think about, and I hate to use this term, I'm not trying to be a dick, but when you think about, like, rednecks or white trash and stuff, and you think about down South, like, what do you think about? Like, people missing teeth, you think about horses and farms and shit like that, like, moonshine, like, this is the shit that Bubba was rapping about, you know what I'm saying? He rapped about his fucking animals and his farms and all this other shit. So yeah, he was a super down South dude, but when you talk about hip-hop, you don't hear people in hip-hop talking about that shit. The things that T.I. was talking about in his music and stuff like that, again, were more typical of Southern hip-hop. But anyway, T.I. gets a 4.85 in the albums department, which, again, like Bubba, is a good album score, but Bubba gets a little bit higher of a score there with the 5.18. So through two categories, they're both very close to each other. Songs, T.I. gets a plus 0.31, and it's not quite a third of a point, but it's almost a third of a point. You know, we talk about a full point really being impactful on your final rating and stuff like that, so T.I. doesn't quite get there, but he does get just about a third of a point. Bubba didn't lose or gain anything, so T.I. basically makes up exactly what he lost in the albums department. And to me, looking at some of this shit sometimes, it's really weird how some of this stuff works out, because you got these guys that got the same score lyrically, right? So it's like, well, how did Bubba get the higher album score then? You know what I mean? And this is something that I want to point out to people. It's not just as simple as being good lyrically, because a lot of people think like, oh, okay, so-and-so can never have a classic album because they're not a beast lyrically. Not necessarily the case, man. I mean, if that album had a lot of popularity, that album has a lot of original concepts that are kept throughout the course of that song and stuff like that, and, you know, maybe one, two, three good features, and, you know, maybe he has a handful of verses here that are even maybe above average for him, where he goes a little above and beyond, and it's like, okay, he's not the best. He's not bad, but he's not the best, but he killed that. You know, you work those things into one album, and you could definitely be looking at a classic album from somebody who's not a tremendous lyricist. LL Cool J is a perfect example of that. I think he got a 5.5 lyrically, so just above average in the lyrics department. He still wound up getting a classic album, so it can be done. It's not done often, but it can be done. But I say that to say this. It's not just the lyrics that count. Now listen, if you go fucking crazy and murder every fucking song, are you going to get a classic album? Probably. If you go off that ridiculously lyrically, then yeah, your songs are probably going to score tremendously high. Nobody has yet to get a 3 and score a perfect album. Nobody has had an album that was all full of nothing but 3s. Eminem came very close on multiple occasions, and I believe Pun also is tied for the top spot as far as an album score is concerned with Capital Punishment. So there were definitely some artists that came close, but nobody has been quote-unquote perfect, so to speak, on an album. That doesn't mean that it's a fucking perfect album. We're just talking about lyrics or concepts or stuff like that. It would wind up scoring as a quote-unquote perfect album because everything got the highest score that it could possibly get. I don't expect that to be done by anybody, but I'm just trying to point out that there are other ways to raise your song and album score than to just snap out lyrically and, you know, rhyme a lot of syllables and say a lot of big words or punchlines. So it works out where Bubba had the better albums by a very little bit. That's not to say all of his albums were better than all of T.I.'s, but overall that average album score comes out a little bit higher than T.I.'s. But T.I. had 7 great songs. Now, T.I. did have a lot more songs than Bubba. Bubba only had 84 songs, whereas T.I. had 223 songs. So definitely a big difference there as far as what they put out, which obviously gives T.I. more of a chance to have great songs. But there's a flip side to that. Number one, that also gives T.I. more of a chance to have weak songs, and he didn't have any weak songs out of 223 songs, which is impressive in itself. On top of that, this song score is generated by a percentage. So 7 out of 223 is 3%, or 3.1%. of his music being great, with none of it being weak to be subtracted off of that. You then slide the decimal point one place over to the left, and it gives you a plus 0.31. My point in saying that is, the more songs you have, the lower that percentage is going to go. So if T.I. stays at 7 great songs, but he comes out with another 50 songs, they could all be good, and his song score is still going to go down because his percentage of great songs has lowered now. So there's a lot of different ways to look at all these numbers that you're looking at, and I don't want anybody to think that, oh, okay, well then just fucking do this on every song, and you're going to get a fucking 10 lyrically and a 3 on every song on every album, and you'll be the perfect rapper, even though nobody likes any of your music. It's just not that simple. It's not the way that things are formulated. I know it probably seems like that sometimes from the outside looking in, But I promise you, every fucking millimeter of any aspect that could possibly go into anybody being considered good or original or important or impactful or relevant or whatever is all included in all the shit. So that's why you see somebody who could get the exact same lyric score, yet a different album score and a different song score. So I just wanted to point that out really quick before we move forward. Impact TI gets a 5.5, and this is definitely close to a 6, and I'll get into this more later, not necessarily TI's score, but what I'm talking about him eventually probably getting at least a 6. When we go over the list later, I will get into this in detail, but every so often I redo everybody's impact score. I re-go and I look over how many artists they've influenced. I re-look at what their total number of albums is now, how many platinum albums, gold albums, this, what they've done, how many firsts they've achieved. You know, I mean, T.I. could do something in a month that no other hip-hop artist has ever done before, and he could be the first to do something, and that alone could bring his impact score up to a 6. I'm just trying to make a point. I'm not trying to be, you know, specific or exact here, but I do believe that the next time that I wind up going back over impact scores, T.I.'s will at least be raised to a 6. This is close to a 6 already, but that being said, it's close to a 6 really just based on his mainstream commercial success. I mean, again, it's not that T.I. is like one of the best-selling hip-hop artists of all time or anything like that, but he does have multiple platinum albums, multiple number one albums. He was one of the few to replace himself at number one and be at number one and two consecutively with the singles. As far as the singles is concerned, like I said, he did have a good amount of success with a good amount of singles. So it's not like it was one or two singles and it's like, well, you know, he did have that, right? Which is what we said about Bubba. T.I., on the other hand, had consistent long-term success with a lot of singles, both as the lead and featured artist. But again, I want to be clear that aside from this, aside from the commercial mainstream, I'm just going to group that into one thing, because it is one thing. When I'm doing impact scores, there's all these different departments. So the same way here, we're adding up 5 scores to a total number and then we're dividing by 5. We're doing the exact same thing in the impact department itself. So for example, he's going to get an impact score based on his mainstream commercial success and his accolades and achievements. He's going to get an impact score based on how many artists he influenced. He's going to get an impact score based on how much material he put out, stuff like that. So T.I., everybody for that matter, gets 5 different impact scores, and then they're all added up and averaged out. So overall, it's a 5.5, very close to a 6, and I do believe that it will definitely be raised to at least a 6, probably over the next year or two. That's even if T.I. doesn't do much else. I still think that it will probably be raised to a 6, just based off him influencing a couple of more artists. Whatever albums he already has out, maybe, you know, another one hits platinum or whatever the case is. I'm not trying to be stupid. Don't take me literal here. I'm just trying to make a point that overall, even if he just comes out with one or two more albums, and that raises that aspect of it when you look at his total amount of material put out and stuff like that. Who the hell knows? T.I. could wind up getting a classic album. There's a lot of things that could happen, but this could easily be raised to a 6, and I think in the near future it probably will be raised to a 6. But point that I'm trying to make is, other than the accolades and the mainstream commercial success, there really wasn't much else there to give T.I. credit for as far as impact was concerned. We had only Joe Budden, a couple of other names where it was like, you know, they might have got this from T.I. I'm not sure. A couple. But Joe Budden was the only clear one, and the only thing Joe Budden took was it was basically the same beat. And we don't even know if Joe Budden knows that. Joe Budden may not have even heard that. Joe Budden might have had some producer offering him beats. He heard this beat and was like, oh, this is dope. You see what I'm saying? But I have to mark down that, hey, Joe, this song is cool, but T.I. already did this a couple of years ago. I have to mark that down. So I'm not saying that Joe Budden necessarily took it from T.I. I don't know whether he did or he didn't, but I do know that T.I. did it first. There are other things that artists have admitted to taking from people. Like, you know, certain lines that Jay-Z's repeating are Biggie's lines. We know this. Jay-Z doesn't deny this or nothing. So those are direct things that I marked down that, yes, he did get this from this person. Other things are not so clear, and maybe I'll mark down a half a point instead of a full point. So that way, should I see down the line, there's another two, three, or four things that I think they may have gotten from this person. It's like, all right, that's a lot of coincidences now. So while that number may not read four when I get to the end, it might read two instead of a half. You see what I'm saying? And then that name may be mentioned on their write-up. So I'm just trying to break down a little bit for you guys, like how the math goes and how these things are all worked out and why I'm saying the things that I'm saying. But with that taken into consideration, T.I. gets a just above average score in the impact department of 5.5, which, like I said, is almost a 6 based solely on his mainstream commercial success. So we'll have to stay tuned to see if that changes. Originality, he gets a 5, and I thought this 5 was fair. I thought there were two sides to this coin. I thought there were some things about T.I. that were not ridiculously original or unique, but I thought some of his cadences and delivery a little bit, you know, his voice, definitely not his accent or slang terms or anything like that. Again, those were mostly typical down south hip hop type stuff like that. But, you know, his voice, his cadences, delivery, stuff like that. And some of T.I.'s messages were definitely out of the norm. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember when I started T.I. And it's actually pretty cool starting some of these people, especially people like this that I like T.I., but I don't know too much of T.I. I mean, I think T.I. had like 13 albums. I probably only heard one. I don't think I had it. I think my boy had it, but I think I drove him to the store and he bought it and we listened to it. So I definitely had sat down and listened to at least one T.I. album from start to finish, but I don't think I owned any of them. But when you get these people that it's like, God, I like this dude, but I don't really know too much of him, like, it's pretty exciting to sit down and listen to these guys. So, you know, I go to the list, I hit play, and the first thing I hear is T.I.'s intro on his debut album, and he's talking, and I'm getting a feel for, you know, it's like going down the T.I. rabbit hole, you know what I'm saying? And I'm getting a feel for where we're going, what this guy brings to the table, what he offers, you know, what his mindset is, what his goals are. And I get to watch that person grow and mature and hopefully get better and stuff like that and succeed at some of the things that they kind of seem to speak into existence on their earlier albums before they were even real. And they, you know, I'm going to do this. And then they did it. So, you know, watching all that stuff is pretty cool. But like I said, I don't remember exactly what T.I. said on that debut album intro, but I do remember that being a moment. Like, I remember listening to him talk and just feeling like, you know, it's almost like you're waiting on a ride that's about to go and you're waiting for it to that button to get hit and for it to go. I was listening to T.I. talk, you know, like they're saying, keep your arms inside the vehicle and this and that. And I just remember thinking, wow, you know what? Like, from what I know of T.I., from most of what T.I. says on his songs, and I've seen T.I. go to jail on more than one occasion for weapons and things like this. So while I don't know T.I. personally, I can only assume that T.I. probably is about at least the very high majority of what he speaks. And I want to be clear, I don't think everybody has to be extremely literal with every word out of their mouth. But, you know, don't just blatantly lie and try to paint a picture that's not true is the point that I'm trying to make. That's the pet peeve that I have with certain people, where it's like, that's not true. Like, you're just telling me a blatant lie, and the reason you're telling that to me is to make yourself look better. I don't like that shit. T.I. never seemed like one of those people to me. So to hear T.I. say a lot of the things he said, see T.I. get into altercations with people, you know, the beef with Little Flip, the fight with Floyd Mayweather. I mean, who the fuck fights Floyd Mayweather? And I want to be clear on that. If you're huge, you might have no problem fighting Floyd Mayweather. You might think, I'm just going to grab this dude and fucking break him in half. But T.I. ain't huge. T.I. is like the same size as Mayweather. In fact, Mayweather might be actually bigger than T.I. So it's like, damn, bro, you rolled up and fought Mayweather? There's no way you thought you were winning that fight, son. But, you know, but T.I. still, you know, held down his pride and what he stands for, and he did what he did. And I'm not saying this to try to big it up. I'm just saying again that to me, T.I. seemed like a dude that was about most of what he rapped about. And just seeing the way that T.I. lived and then hearing the message that he came in with, I felt like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't expect T.I. to say this on his intro. I didn't expect T.I. to spew this kind of a message right off the bat in trying to let people get a clear picture of who he was both as a person and an artist. So I thought that was cool, and I did think that some of T.I.'s overall messages were definitely outside of the norm from what you would generally hear on the radio and from most mainstream commercially successful artists. So I did want to give T.I. credit for that. But like I said, you know, other than that, there really wasn't much overly original about T.I. In general, he was your typical down south rapper, both in image, you know, accent, slang, content, talking about, you know, a lot of drugs and guns and things like that. And again, I'm not trying to knock it. I like T.I. I like T.I. as a person, and I like T.I.'s music. So in no way, shape, or form am I trying to knock any of this. I'm just trying to point out that it's not overly original. So again, there's two sides to that coin. You have some things about T.I. that, while I don't think he's taken anything from anybody, he's also not deviating that far from what the norm is, at least in his particular region. And then again, you have other things about him that are slightly original. So I thought those things kind of even out. This is another one that is on a borderline of a 5.5. And I think it may be changed to a 5.5 because aside from the fact that, and when I say that he took a fair amount from other artists, it wasn't a lot. It wasn't an overabundance, but there definitely, you know, was a mentionable amount in there. But again, 223 songs, so a pretty decent catalog for T.I. So when you think about the amount of material he put out, no, he didn't really take much, but it was still there enough for me to mention. Like I said, particularly Tupac and Biggie, he took a pretty decent amount from them. But aside from that, there wasn't really anything about T.I. that was like unoriginal. You know what I mean? Like, I'm saying these things about him that weren't overly original, but there wasn't anything that was overly unoriginal either. It's just that a lot of the things he did were typical South. And I just think that comes from T.I. just loving where he's from and stuff like that. So again, I don't want to make it sound like T.I. just, you know, is taking everything from everybody and he's a super unoriginal dude or anything like that. But I just do think that there is two sides to that coin. But it is close to a 5.5. So I do think that T.I. will wind up getting a higher score and moving up from where he is right now, because I definitely think the impact score will be raised. The other scores are debatable whether they'll be raised or not. But I mean, if T.I. keeps coming out with more stuff and keeps having more success and things like that, I mean, I got to think that T.I. is going to wind up moving up. So you add those five numbers up, you divide by five, and that gives you a final rating of 4.33, which leaves T.I. tied for 130th place of 239 artists done overall. Wow. So let me just start by saying I did not expect that finish from T.I. Not only was I pretty far off with my prediction, but I have to admit I was pretty let down by T.I. in general. Now, to be clear, he still was above average lyrically, and I definitely had plenty of T.I. songs that I added to my all-time hip-hop list. I'm just saying that overall, he just didn't really deliver anywhere near the way that I expected him to, which, in all fairness, that could be my fault for expecting too much of him based off of basically only hearing his more popular stuff and maybe some features on songs and things like that, because make no mistake about it, I'm still telling you, there are definitely some verses that T.I. definitely kills, where I'm like, damn, he fucking killed that. But the point that I'm trying to make is, when I heard, let's say, 20 T.I. songs, and on 10 of those songs, I'm like, yo, he fucking snapped on that. And then another 5 of them, like, yeah, yo, like, T.I.'s dope. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at it like, yo, I'm thinking, like, about this dude in this fashion, and I only heard one of this dude's albums. Like, if this dude just, you know, okay, 50% of his shit, I'm thinking he fucking murdered that, right, that I heard. If he keeps going like that for 13 albums, like, yo, this dude could be actually mad slept on it, and he may be the king of the South. You know what I'm saying? So you got to look at it that Unfortunately for T.I., now this obviously doesn't change his numerical score, it just changes the words that are coming out of my mouth. So, unfortunately for T.I., I probably went into him with too high of hopes, where like, yo, we might have the King of the South here, like, I think I might have found a hidden gem, you know, because me and my boy Dirty, who I talked to you about on this show, we've been pretty big T.I. fans for quite some time now, and we were both excited for me to get up to T.I., and I know that he hadn't heard too much of T.I. the same way I did. Like, we definitely listened to, you know, maybe 25 T.I. songs or shit like that, and we were like, yeah, I like T.I., but we just never really got around to, like, listening to his albums. You know, we were more listening to Joe Budden and the Triangle Offense with Fabolous and Paul Kane and, you know, listening to some of the shit that I was making at the time and some underground shit right out of high school and stuff like that. So we never really dove into T.I. like that. And then once I started this study, me and him both kind of knew, like, I was going to go through everybody's entire catalog. So it was like, all right, cool. Let me know when you get up to T.I., like, what happens. And he knows that if I would have found a whole bunch of hidden gems, I mean, I'm sure I sent him a couple of songs that he's never heard that were dope. But, you know, if I was flying through classic albums, like, he knows I would have been shooting him shits over, like, bro, you got to listen to this T.I. album. But unfortunately, that just never really happened. It was never to the point where I was like, man, yo, like, T.I. is going crazy. I do remember getting that vibe with Paper Trail, because I had just said something to him, like, prior to that album, and he was like, nah, T.I. matures late, like, give it time. And then right after I had said something negative, I think it was after probably his third album or so, I was listening to Paper Trail while I was speaking to him, and I was like, damn, I feel like T.I. heard me, like, he's going ham on this album. And that was Head and Shoulders T.I.'s best album. I know when we read his write-up, it said that it was his most successful album, and what's wild is it was actually technically his best album, and those two things almost never go hand-in-hand. And I'm not saying that just because I don't listen to the radio and I don't really like the radio. I'm not saying that for the typical cliche reasons that you usually hear people say that for. Like, oh, they don't want to put the fucking really good shit on the radio and the meaningful shit. I'm not even saying it for that. I'm just telling you, even personally speaking, when I'm listening to certain artists, a lot of times I'll listen to a song and be like, yo, I like this one, and I'll add it to the all-time hip-hop list, but it was a 1 or a 1.5 or maybe even a 2 for a guy that was banging out 3s left and right. And it's like, I don't understand. This guy just had 4 songs in a row that were all great songs, and I didn't really like him or add him to my list, and then all of a sudden he makes a 1.5 or a 2, and I'm like, yo, I love this song. It's weird. It's really strange how often it happens. It's strange how, you know, people will kind of consistently be getting 1.5 2s just based on, like, concepts or lyrics. And then they finally get a song where I'm like, okay, this was a big song. And it starts off at a 1.5. And I'm like, all right, this is going to be their first great song, because it's going to start off at a 1.5 now instead. And then they do nothing on it, and it just stays at a 1.5. And I'm like, man, why does this always happen? Like, it just seems to be that, technically speaking, the not-so-great songs are the ones that wind up being the more popular songs. I really don't know why that is, but I can tell you that there certainly has been a pattern. But anyway, my point in saying all that was, you know, I kind of got off on a tangent, but my point in saying all that was that it probably was, you know, my fault for going into T.I. in the head that I had. And, you know, I mean, T.I. certainly wasn't bad, bro. He gets an above average score of 6 in the lyrics department. He gets a good album score. He gets a plus in the songs department. And he doesn't get below average in any category. So, again, I'm not saying this to try to shit on T.I. I still like a lot of T.I.'s music. I add a lot of his songs to my list. Yada, yada. But I will say this. While T.I. may be the king of the South, he is definitely not the best rapper from the South, and there's absolutely no debate about that. Regardless, though, man, like I said, I'm personally a T.I. fan both on and off the mic, so I don't want to take anything away from T.I. or his accomplishments, because I certainly enjoy a fair share of his music, so shout-outs to T.I., no question. So the past couple of weeks, I've been not only telling you guys that this week we'd be going over all of our lists, but also that I'm pretty sure every single list has changed in probably a major way. So we are going to go over all of our lists here today, as this is the final episode in the month of April. And I'm telling you, there are huge changes to pretty much every single one of these. So I'm super excited to get into them now. But before I do that, allow me to give you a bit of a rundown on why exactly these lists have changed so much, because we're not just talking about people that are being covered or added here today or whatever. We're talking about just the list sitting the way that they were. They were altered before I even finished T.I. or Bubba Sparks. They were altered a couple of weeks ago, almost all of them majorly. So, first of all, every summer, I take a break from the trajectory I'm on and I go back over every single artist I've already covered and check to make sure that they haven't come out with any new material. If they have, whether it be an album or a song or whatever the case is, or maybe something that I could have possibly missed somehow, then I will go back and do that and fit that into their scores over the summer. So that's one reason why we sometimes have some major changes out of nowhere to these lists. But that isn't the main reason for the changes here today. So something else that I have scheduled in, and this is the first time that I've done it, and it's going to be done one more time and then one more time at the end. So it was done now. It's going to be done again probably in about 2 years. And then when everything is finalized, everything will be gone over in every possible way. And those will be your final numbers. Obviously, I know going forward from that, that people are going to come out with more shit and whatever. I don't know whether I'll continue to do it or not. I plan on having this end at, you know, 2029 going into 2030. I plan on 2030, it's done. It's 50 years of hip-hop and it's done and there's everything there. I don't know what I'm going to do from that point going forward. I don't think that I'm going to continue to do this, but maybe I will. So we'll have to see. But this is my first time doing this, and what I'm doing is I re-look into everyone and everything that they have done. All 239 people that have been covered so far, I'm looking into everything they've done to date, and I'm adjusting their impact scores if need be. Not everybody got their impact scores changed, but some people did. A lot of people did. Probably, I would say probably about half of the artists that have been covered so far. So maybe about 140 artists probably got their impact scores changed. Some by a lot, some by a little. This could be due to any number of things. It could be they've released more material. It could be they've influenced more artists as time has gone on. It could be the emergence of subgenres due to particular artists. It could be the death of some certain artists, maybe some more recent successes that were achieved after I was done covering them that weren't documented yet. It could be so many different things. So recently, I've been adjusting the impact scores to fit the material covered now, and we've definitely had some adjustments to almost all of our lists. So without further ado, let's get into our lists and see what we got. As usual, we're going to start off with our top 10% overall. Now, not only have we had artists moved around due to impact score changes, but this list also grows today from a top 23. You know, however many artists we had around, probably 230 artists covered the last time that we read this list off. So now it's a top 24 because we're closer to 240 artists covered now. So not only have impact scores been changed, but we're also going to have an additional name in the list on top of everything. Now, will it be an old artist who had been slid out prior and now they're back in because we included an extra number here? Will it be somebody who's never been in our list before? Somebody who maybe was covered over the past 5 weeks or so that we didn't get a chance to hear where they finished? We don't know who it's going to be or where that extra number is going to come from or who moved where. So let's get into our list here and see how they look now. In our top spot, we still have Eminem, who's in first place of 239 artists done overall. In second place, we got Tech N9ne. In third is Jay-Z. In fourth is now Fabolous. In fifth is One Below of Binary Star. In sixth is AZ. In 7th is Vinny Paz of Jedi Mind Tricks. In 8th is Big Pun. In 9th is Big L. In 10th is Nas. In 11th is Inspect the Deck. In 12th is Cannabis. In 13th is Black Thought of the Roots. In 14th is Method Man. In 15th is Killer Priest. In 16th is Jadakiss of the Lox. In 17th is Tupac. In 18th is DMX. In 19th is The Last Emperor. In 20th place is Biggie. In 21st is KRS-One. 22nd is Jussalah of Jedi Mind Tricks. 23rd is Talib Kweli. And tied for our 24th and final spot, we have Pharoah Monch and Benefit, who are both tied for 24th place of 239 artists done overall. So there is your updated top 10% overall. And while neither of these artists covered here today cracked the list, there are many, many changes, whether you noticed it or not. So allow me to refresh your memory and let's go over them right now. So a couple of weeks ago on episode 13, we had Big Pun sitting in 4th place overall. First and foremost, he was beat out by Fabulous and slid down to 5th place. However, we don't see Pun in 5th place here today. We see him in 8th. So while Pun is still inside of our top 10 overall, he's officially outside of the top 5. With the other three artists being One Below, AZ, and Vinny Paz staying put in 5th, 6th, and 7th place, as well as Fabulous being slid into 4th, that moves Big L from 8th to 9th, and Nas from 9th to 10th. We then see Inspect the Deck in 11th, whereas on episode 13, he was in 12th. Now sitting in 12th, we have Cannabis, who moved up one spot from 13th, and then Black Thought directly behind him in 13th, as he was slid back three spots from 10th place on episode 13. Method Man also slides from 11th place to 14th place here today, and Killer Priest goes from 14th to 15th. Jada stays put in 16th place, although he has now jumped in front of Tupac, who moved from 15th to 17th. So shoutouts to Dirty T for his fave besting my fave. As much as I hate to say that, I gotta give credit where it's due, unfortunately. DMX and The Last Emperor stay put in 18th and 19th place respectively. Biggie is slid from 17th place to 20th. KRS-One from 20th to 21st. And Jussalah of Jedi Mind Tricks from 21st to 22nd. Talib stays put in 23rd place while Pharoah Monch goes from 23rd to tied for 24th with Benefit, who wasn't listed in our top 10% overall at all on episode 13th, so he obviously slides in there now. So there you have it, man. Like I said, a lot of changes here, and while they aren't super major as far as how many spots everybody moved, this top 10% definitely looks dramatically different than it did when we read it off a couple of weeks ago. So, shoutouts to anyone who stayed in this list, regardless of whether they moved up or down. And shoutouts to Benefit for officially cracking our top 10% overall. So now let's move on to our top 10% lyrically, which obviously didn't see any changes due to impact scores being altered. But we do have an addition here today, as someone who was covered over the past month or so has officially cracked our top lyrical list. So in our top spot, we have Eminem, who's in first place lyrically overall with a lyrical score of 9.5. In a three-way tie for second place behind Eminem, we have One Below of Binary Star, Tech 9, and Fabulous, who all got lyrical scores of 9. Behind them, we have a five-way tie for fifth place between Pharoah Monch, Black Thought of the Roots, Nas, AZ, and Vinny Paz of Jedi Mind Tricks, who all got lyrical scores of 8.5. Behind them in a five-way tie for 10th place, we have Method Man, Jay-Z, Big Pun, Cannabis, and The Last Emperor, who all got lyrical scores of 8. Behind them in a seven-way tie for 15th place is Master Ace, GZA, Common, Big L, Talib Kweli, Esoteric, and Inspect the Deck, who all got lyrical scores of 7.5. And then in a 14-way tie for our 22nd and final spot in the list, We have Cool G Rap, Lord Finesse, Sean Price of Helter Skelter, Slug, Jadakiss of the Lox, Killer Priest, Benefit, Ludacris, Brother Ali, Sauce Money, Cuban Link, Necro, and Rex, who all got lyrical scores of 7. So like I said, we had an addition to this list over the past month that we hadn't got to mention yet, as we see Fabolous sliding into a tie for the number 2 spot lyrically overall, with one below of Binary Star and Tech N9ne. So obviously very impressive stuff from Fab as he cracks the top 5 in both of our lists that we've done so far here today. So shout outs to Fab and anybody else in that list, no doubt about that. Now let's move into our particular decades list, and as always, we're going to start with our 80s decade. However, after years of having this list read the exact same way, we shockingly have some major changes to this list today. So your top 5 artists of the 80s currently reads: number 1, KRS-One, number 2, Slick Rick, number 3, Rakim, and then in a tie for 4th place, we have LL Cool J and Cool G Rap. So the first 3 artists in this list don't change at all, even though their overall positions did, their spots in this 80s list didn't. But we do see 2 major changes towards the back end of this list. So a couple of weeks ago, Rev Run of Run DMC was in 4th place ahead of LL Cool J. This week, not only is Rev Run slid out of this list entirely, but LL Cool J moves up to 4th place, and Cool G Rap finally makes his way inside of this list, tied with LL for our last spot. So, we've never seen any changes to this list before since we've started doing it, although I did tell you guys every time it was always possible. And to even further the suspense on this list, Cool G Rap has come out with another album, which I've yet to score, but like I talked about earlier, I will get to scoring that album over the summer, so when we come back from our summer break, it's very possible that this list changes again. So we'll have to wait and see, but this will probably be the way your top 5 artists of the 80s stays until, at least until the fall, if I had to guess. Now let's move on to our top 5 rappers of the 90s list, and again, we got some changes here. So, in our number 1 spot, we have Eminem, number 2, Tech N9ne, number 3, Jay-Z, number 4, Fabolous, and number 5, One Below of Binary Star. So, while this list is almost identical to the way it read some weeks back, there have been 2 major changes. Eminem, Tech N9ne, Jay-Z, and One Below not only all stay in this list, but stay put in their exact respective spots. However, Big Pun has been removed from this list entirely and is replaced by Fabolous at number 4. And I gotta tell you, man, not only is Big Pun one of my personal favorite rappers of all time, but I definitely think that he's one of the best rappers ever. So it does pain me to see him slid back in our overall list, and it definitely irks the shit out of me not seeing his name at all in the top 5 of the 90s, even though I am a huge Fabolous fan. But regardless of my feelings or opinions, the math is what it is, and I'm just going to read it to you guys in black and white as what they scored. Now, let's get into our more current MCs that we've been covering lately and check out our top 5 rappers of the new millennium so far. Now, we're still only in the calendar year of 2001, so I still expect there to be at least one change each time we read this list off, but I'm sure as we near the middle of the 2000s, the changes will become less and less often, but nonetheless, let's see the list as it looks today. So your top 5 artists to come out in the 2000s so far are: number 1, Fabolous, number 2, The Last Emperor, number 3, Necro, number 4, Con Artist of D12, and number 5, Swifty McVeigh of D12. So again, a couple of changes here today. First and foremost, we see Fab take over that number 1 spot there, which slides The Last Emperor back to 2nd, and I think well-deserved for Fabolous, so shout-outs to him for that. We also see Necro, unfortunately, move from 4th to 3rd, as well as both Con Artist and Swifty of D12 being slid from 2nd and 3rd, respectively, now down to 4th and 5th. All of this also means that our 5th place artist from last time we read this list off, Cuban Link of Terror Squad, has officially been ousted from our top five rappers of the new millennium totally. Like I said, I expect changes to this list more often than probably any other list that we'll be covering in the near future. So this certainly doesn't mean that Cuban Link will stay out or that this list is written in stone by any means, but that is the way that it stands for now. Shoutouts to Fab for taking over that number one spot there. Necro for moving up. Swifty and Con Artist for hanging in here. As well as Cuban Link for being in there at one time. So now let's move on to our regional list, which again, we have some major changes to. So we're going to start off here with our East Coast. So your top three artists to come out of the East Coast so far are Jay-Z from Brooklyn, New York, Fabulous from Brooklyn, New York, and AZ from Brooklyn, New York. So a lot of things to point out here. First and foremost, we see Jay hang on to that number one spot. After that, we see Fab replace Big Pun at number two for probably like the third time, which seems to be some sort of trend here today. But that moves the Bronx out of this top three, as well as AZ replacing Vinnie Paz of Jedi Mind Tricks in third place, which eliminates not only the city of Philly, but the entire state of Pennsylvania from this top three list. It also means that Brooklyn now holds a claim to all three top East Coast spots in our regional list. So pretty crazy stuff here on the East Coast today. We'll have to see if that stays like that, because Brooklyn occupying all three spots would be pretty fucking nuts. So obviously some heavy hitters coming out of Brooklyn, to say the least. Let's move across the country to our West Coast. Your top three artists to come out of the West Coast thus far are Tupac from Marin County, California, Razzcast from Carson, California, and Ice Cube from Los Angeles, California. So while all three of these artists' positions have changed in our overall list, they still remain the top three artists to come out of the West Coast thus far, and they still stay in the same order. So no changes to our West Coast list here today. Let's move down south. Your top three artists to come out of the South thus far are Benefit from Florida, Ludacris from Atlanta, Georgia, and Lil Wayne from New Orleans, Louisiana. So same thing here again with all three of these artists, where all three of these artists' positions have changed in our overall list, but no changes to the names or the order of our top three artists from the South here today. And man, I'll tell you, I've been having debates with people about whether T.I. would finish at the top of this list, and not only does he not top it, but he doesn't even crack the top three at all. So again, I'm not trying to shit on T.I. I heavily prefer him to Lil Wayne, no question. But overall, currently, unfortunately, technically speaking, Wayne is the better artist. So shout out to all three of those guys for sure. Now let's move over to our Midwest. Your top three artists to come out of the Midwest thus far are Eminem from Detroit, Michigan, Tech N9ne from Kansas City, Missouri, and One Below of Binary Star from Pontiac, Michigan. So this is actually the only list where none of these three artists moved at all, even from our overall list. And this is a heavy hitter list for sure, man. All three of these top dogs here are actually in the top five overall, which is crazy. So major shout outs to these guys, as well as the Midwest in general, man. They've really been a way pleasant surprise, putting out some super quality artists, no question. So that leaves us with only one list left here today, which would be our newest list of the top three female MCs so far. So let's check that out and see if we got any changes. In our top spot, we have Eve, who's in 73rd place. Behind her is Queen Latifah, who's in 115th place. And in our third and final spot, we got MC Light, who's tied for 119th place of 239 artists done overall. So no changes to the names in this list or the order they're in. However, we do see changes to their overall positions, as Eve has actually moved up one spot from 74th to 73rd, while Queen Latifah goes down 23 spots from 92nd to 115th, and MC Light falls 26 spots from 93rd to 119th. Again, these scores and positions could all change at any time, but that's where they sit currently, and Regardless of position, shout outs to all three of these artists for continuing to hold down their respective spots on our top three female MCs list so far. So, there you have it, man. Not only did we get to go over our lists and see who over the past month or so was able to crack some lists, Fabulous was a key factor in that, but we see a much needed updated version of pretty much all of these lists, so we can now have a more accurate picture of where people stand currently and a closer look at where they'll ultimately finish overall at the end of the day when this is all said and done. And if you'd like to see any of these lists in writing, they're all on the Tale of the Tapes Facebook page. If you're interested, the Facebook page is www.facebook.com/Tale of the Tapes Podcast. You can just give that page a like and a follow to stay up to date, interact with the podcast, give ideas, predictions, all sorts of shit. You could also give the host website a visit at www.anchor.fm/Tale of the Tapes. Both of those links are spelled completely normally. On the host website, you'll see a support button. Please hit that for me. I greatly appreciate it. And after an extensive and extremely eventful episode in more ways than one, that'll conclude episode 18 here today. On next week's episode, we'll be covering Southern hip-hop group Cunning Linguists. Tale of the Tapes. Peace.
Tale of the Tapes. Might as well. Better off.